the Alliance Party, Stephen Farry, is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Stephen.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. So what are the Alliance Party sticking points? It's strange that you wouldn't tell us what these red lines were before the election, but clearly they existed. So what were they?
Well, I mean, the red lines were in essence the proposals that we have made to the DUP and Sinn Féin are very much derived from our manifesto, and you recall there's five key steps that we set out, including building an integrated society, addressing the cost of division, cleaning up our politics, addressing paramilitarism, and investing in skills to transform our economy. So what we have tabled this week is based around those five key steps, and we have asked for specifics in all of those areas, and also set out targets and timetables.
What was the deal breaker for you that meant that you're saying, you're not saying you definitely won't take it. You're leaving a wee bit of wriggle room there, aren't you?
Well, let's be clear. What has happened this week is we were invited to consider taking up the post by the DUP and Sinn Féin. We did so through presenting those proposals to those parties, which we feel would transform our society moving forward faster. They have been substantially rejected, and that was the case yesterday. And on that basis, party leadership recommended to our party council that we're not in a position to take up the post of Justice Minister. The DUP and Sinn Féin have said they're in control of the situation, and if that's the case, that's fine. That's what they resolved. If they're not and they want to come back and talk to us, that's fine. They can come back and talk to us. But I think one of the key points has to be around how we open up our politics, and in particular the issue of the petition of concern. This has poisoned our politics over the past number of years, and in effect it's moved substantially from the original intent, which was to stop discrimination from one side of the community against another, and it's now used and essentially a free-for-all whenever a party with more than 30 seats believes that something's not in their interests. Parties should stand based upon their numbers, so if the DUP has 38 seats, Sinn Féin has 28 seats, they have more than we have, they have more say on the floor of the Assembly. But through the petition of concern, a party with 38 seats, if they deploy that, takes a full majority and can block everything, and that's not democratic.
So was that the deal breaker for you? If the DUP and Sinn Féin came up with some type of agreement with the Alliance Party around where they would and wouldn't use the petition of concern, would that more than likely mean that your party would take the Justice Ministry?
This is the fundamental question to our minds, and it's important to understand why this is important. This is not of importance directly to the Alliance Party. This is of importance to our society, to our democratic process. We're talking about here a fresh start. We're talking about a new beginning within this mandate. Last time round, a whole host of important reforms that were essentially blocked because of the petition of concern, which has been used in the unintended way, in a very anti-democratic way. So it's important that we open up our politics and allow the Assembly, all those 108 MLAs that have been elected, to actually have a proper say in terms of determining the future course of Northern Ireland.
So, for me to be clear, if you can reach agreement with those parties around the petition of concern, you will offer to take the Justice Ministry.
Let me equally be clear, Stephen. As of yesterday, what we were saying around the petition of concern was substantially rejected. So if we're in a situation where people want to come back to us and talk about those core issues that we put forward over the past couple of days, we're happy to have those discussions.
Yeah, but it sounds to me...
We're not expecting a call.
Yeah, it sounds to me like the petition of concern is the deal breaker. Am I right?
Well, let me frame it this way. It is the most fundamental of the issues that we have put forward, because we have to open up our politics. For Alliance to go in to an executive simply to be a sticky plaster, to essentially cover up the fact that the DUP and Sinn Féin cannot between themselves determine how they can manage the Department of Justice, has to be on the basis that we are opening up our politics and we're transforming Northern Ireland.
Opposition actually work, Stephen Farry? Because there won't be an agreed policy platform between you, the SDLP and the Ulster Unionist Party, will there? You'll all be this hocus-pocus of rival oppositions. You won't be a government in waiting. That's the number one rule of an opposition, to be a government in waiting.
Well, certainly one of the functions of opposition is to be a government in waiting, but at the same token, you don't expect all opposition parties to agree. If you go to London, I mean, you don't see Labour, the Liberal Democrats, SNP, Plaid Cymru, all having a common platform in terms of opposing the Conservative government. They all have their own unique identities. Yeah. They may find common cause around particular issues, and at the next elections, people will have their say and may change the relative strengths of the different parties based upon what they're saying.
Yeah. It's the same point I put to the SDLP earlier. This is more about your poor election results, isn't it? If you had more seats coming to you, you'd still be in there.
No, I mean, we have a mandate from the people who voted for us. They voted for our manifesto. And we will seek to use the influence we have, which is 8 seats, which may well be different from those of other parties, to advance not just what we think is in the interest of the party, but what's in the interest of Northern Ireland. And the key point I'm making, Stephen, is opening up our politics will have that transformational nature in terms of how the Assembly is perceived. The Assembly has had a very bad image over the past 5 years through the stop-start politics, all of the bickering, the missed opportunities, the vetoes, the blockages.
Okay.
So if people are serious about a fresh start, this is the way to do it.
Stephen Farry, thank you very much indeed. The TV's Jim Alistair joining us now this morning. They're all up early today. Good morning to you, Mr. Alistair.
Good morning, Mr. Nolan.
Up out of bed early today, and of course, you're not going to be that lone voice now, are you? You've got loads of other people around you in opposition now, Mr. Alistair. You're not going to get the limelight anymore.
Well, it's not about me getting the limelight. I'm very happy that I'm the voice that raised the need 5 years ago of opposition when no one else was talking about it. And it's very gratifying that 5 years on, we now have a population explosion on the benches of the opposition. That's good. I hope it's cogent. I hope it's effective, because any country needs an opposition, and it's a scandalous situation that to date we haven't had one. But to be an effective opposition, it has to be a resourced opposition. And of course, at the moment, there is not the finances to produce other than a neutered opposition. Now, this is an opposition which is
going to... So you want more money?
Well, I want it resourced, because it's facing a government with the full backing of the entire civil servants, with what will be 16 overpaid special advisers, costing £106,000 each on average. And all the money that has been produced to resource research for the opposition is something of the order of £60,000.
And how much money do you want for your special advisers?
Well, I'm not looking for any special adviser, because I'm not a formal part of the opposition. But I think that those who are, that we need to address the issue of special advisers. I sought to address it last year by reducing the governments. You know, we have 8 special advisers in the office of the first ministers, the same as the entire Welsh government. They don't need it. So they can share, they can release some of that money for special advisers for the opposition. We can reduce their salary to the average that exists elsewhere in the devolved region, instead of the ludicrous payments that we're presently making them. And by doing that, we can make the provision resources for an opposition cost neutral. And, you know, it will be a test of the lip service that some have paid to having an opposition as to whether or not they're prepared to resource it.
Jim, how is this going to work? So the SDLP have made it clear that they're not going to team up with the UUP. So you're going to have rival oppositions within the opposition. How's that going to work?
Well, I think it'll work, and no doubt it'll have its own teasing issues, but I think it'll work largely as opposition works elsewhere, in that, for example, take Westminster. This very week, even though the SNP, the Labour Party, the Liberal Democrats, the DUP, they all take their different course on different issues, the government has been forced into a U-turn on TTIP and the National Health Service because of the coming together of all the opposition parties and a bit of a rebellion in their own ranks. And so by virtue of a banding together on issues that can unite everyone, then change can be forced. But a key component of heading down the road of opposition is, as you've already identified, one of the purposes is to create a government in waiting. But you can only do that if we take the next logical step of decoupling ourselves from mandatory coalition, because no matter how well the Ulster Unionists and the SDLP do in opposition, come the next election, even if they are the biggest parties, Sinn Féin and the DUP can still cling to office because of mandatory coalition. So to give people the right to change the government, the right to vote a party out of government, we'll have to move from mandatory to voluntary coalition. And that's the next logical step to establishing an opposition. This is a start of normalising politics, and I hope it doesn't end. I hope it continues.
But Jim Alistair, nothing has really changed, has it? We hear all of this today about what an opposition is or isn't going to do. Here's the reality, surely. The DUP and Sinn Féin are still running the show, and people like you will continue to gurn from the sidelines.
The DUP and the Ulster and the Sinn Féin ran the show the last time, but they had the cover of using lesser parties as doormats to try and hide behind them and blame them as all part of the same failure. So I'm glad that the Ulster and the SDLP and hopefully the Alliance Party aren't going to give them that cover any longer. And therefore, that will happen. So we sold it down to those two parties who are going to be the government. That will be an honest shame of the Sinn Féin DUP coalition. And I think that therefore there'll be no hiding place for them in terms of getting away the many failures which will flow from that. And I think I trust the opposition will be alive and alert to expose all of that and effective in doing so.
I need to get you a new pay-as-you-go phone or top up your meter or whatever it is. This Marlene malarkey, you've tried to nickname Martin McGuinness and Arlene Marlene. It's not helpful, is it? They clearly have different policies. We saw before the election how much they disagree. Arlene Foster standing up to Sinn Féin saying she will not have a Sinn Féin Justice Minister about the place. So this Marlene jibe is cheap, isn't it?
No, it's not cheap. But just take that single issue. Arlene Foster says Sinn Féin isn't fit to be Justice Minister. I agree with her. But if they're not fit to be Justice Minister, then how and why are they fit to be Joint First Minister or fit to be in charge of the education of our children? I don't think they can have it both ways. But the point about Marlene is it's a single office out of Joint First Ministers. It's occupied by two people, but it's one political alignment of the two. And the point I'm making with Marlene is to demonstrate that it is a single office and that neither has power without the other and therefore adapt and appropriate. That should be represented in how they're nicknamed.
Okay. Jim, thank you very much indeed. Morning to you. Bran in West Belfast. Morning, Bran.
Good morning, Stephen. No, Stephen, these MLAs treat the people out here with contempt. I mean, they're coming 5-8 in homes, trying to get a mortgage and so forth. I haven't heard any of them this last few weeks talking about the health service, education, environment and so forth. There's people probably sitting in their homes waiting for an appointment, and they're worried now they won't be able to get this appointment with what's going on in Stormont. It's all a power struggle. I mean, you mentioned it early on. It's a power struggle, and people know this.
Well, it's in the manifesto of the DUP and Sinn Féin to pump in an extra, it's $1 billion over 5 years into the health service. So, to be fair to them, they have been talking about it.
They're talking bits and pieces. I mean, to me...
Call me William?
Sorry,
Did you just call me William?
I do talk to William too. No, but seriously, Stephen, I voted this time and I was thinking seriously of not voting, but I did vote. Now, this time, the next election, if this keeps on going, I mean, I would love to start a campaign on a DVD day, don't vote day, because to me, it's all a waste of time now for this. This is going to drag on and drag on and drag on. I mean, you said early on there, Stephen, that you asked for a spokesperson from the Unionist Party.
Yeah, also Unionist Party. Yeah, the DUP, quote, are trying to get someone. Well, no one's come on to talk to you all, to explain to you all how you see this playing out. Big, big day in politics today. Us Unionist Party are too busy. Yet Mike Nesbitt's sitting listening to the radio tweeting.
Yes,
The DUP are, quote, trying to get somebody.
Well, do you understand where I'm coming from? I mean, the people in all of Northern Ireland are hopefully maybe listening to your programme, but, you know, they're saying this. Probably the same as I'm saying. What is going on here? I mean, is this going to drag on for another 6 months? I heard something, but nothing's going to happen for another 6 months, you know? I mean...
The big move is that Justice Ministry. Will the DUP and Sinn Féin be able to get alliance across the line?
Yeah.
Will they move on to someone else? Will the DUP waver and let Sinn Féin share that Justice Ministry with the DUP? How are Sinn Féin going to play to their electorate when their electorate is hearing the DUP essentially be top dog and say to Sinn Féin, you ain't getting it, you're not suitable for it? Well, and the question that you heard Jim Alistair say a moment or two ago, how come the DUP feels that Sinn Féin aren't right, aren't trusted enough for the Justice Ministry, but they would trust them in departments like health, in departments like education? Where's the logic in that?
William, I would like to think...
If you call me William once more, I'm coming up and knocking your door.
I don't have a purpose.
And then knocking you out.
No, sorry, Steve. No, but...
I don't think a BBC presenter's allowed to say to a licence fee payer, I'm going to knock you out, will I?
No, but, I mean, all seriousness...
I think I should retract that.
All seriousness, you know. I would like to see their actual coming in here, to be honest, because, I mean, after all, the civil servants tell the ministers here what to do, so they can
okay.
run to the con.
Listen, brother, thank you.
Okay.
Nigel in Belfast. Morning, Nigel.
Hi, Stephen. I was almost going to say hi, William, but anyway. So, Conor Murphy, I mean, he sounds a competent, articulate guy usually, but this morning it was just embarrassing, pure waffle. I mean, I work in business. If you have that long to look at focus groups and all the rest, and that's all good stuff, and you come up with the waffle they come up with, which is kind of, it is the blue sky or the green grass or the grass greener, it's just embarrassing. I mean, we talk about, the money they're going to spend in health. That's great. Where's it going to come from? Is it going to come from whinging about evil Tory austerity cuts? Or are we going to cut some of the money we spend on division? Or is that budget just sacrosanct? We talk about budgets here. We spend between 8 and 15% on division of our budget, and that's a lot of money. A lot more money than taken out of the budget by the evil Tories. And we spend it on division, and then we go on about, priorities and this and that and the other. When are we going to cut the division budget?
Listen, thank you.
Please.
Thank you, Nigel. Kieran in Limavady, John in Derry, Stuart in Ballinahinch. Morning, Stuart.
Hi, Stephen. Good morning. I was just ringing up basically to say that we need to be realistic with the talk of the UUP and SDLP in opposition. Unless they can work together and form a coalition arrangement, then there is going to be no opposition effective to the DUP and Sinn Féin. The DUP and Sinn Féin have had the mandate overwhelmingly in this election with 66 MLAs returned. The DUP and Sinn Féin will in the public say that they're disappointed with the other parties have not come into the government. But privately, they'll be delighted with the fact that they can have all the choice of all the executive departments and run a government without the distraction of the other parties for the next mandate.
Do you think things will be better now with an opposition?
I'm more positive than a lot of the people that have spoke this morning just for the fact that it is a step forward no matter what angle you do look at it, for the fact that we are moving towards an opposition. And for all the parties, it has the potential to be beneficial because the DUP and Sinn Féin now have 5 years and they have no excuses. They have to implement the changes they want to see and they will be judged on that.
Well, let's see.
Play it off against other parties.
Because that's a big question in itself. Are politicians in this country judged on whether they deliver their policy promises or not? You hear the Nolan Show every year going through their manifesto promises and trying to shine light on whether and what they're promising and whether they delivered what they promised in the past. Do people vote based on how political parties have delivered?
Good morning, the biggest show in the country.
Morning, good morning. We had a wee chat a couple of weeks ago after you announced that you weren't going to be doing as much anymore on the BBC. And I just thought that we'd bring you on and talk about this a little bit more and what you're going to do in your retirement and what life for our Jackie's going to be like in the future.
Well, let me say straight away, Stephen, I'm not retiring. That was my last live Irish Cup final. And because we lost the international contract to Sky for the European Championships and so on, I was doing one live game a year. So when you get to, I will be on Sunday, by the way, May the 22nd, same birthday as George Best, I will be 73.
Wow.
So when you get up to this age, you worry about your concentration, your energy levels, etc. You still do the work. But then when I did the final, and I thought I did it all right. I was well pleased. And then I thought afterwards, what the devil am I doing retiring? So, but I'll still be doing my corporate work. I'll still be doing awards shows. I'll still be doing some football for the BBC, hopefully on Final Score. But and just cutting back a little bit.
And do you feel yourself, you say about your concentration, do you feel your age?
No, I don't. I don't at all. I'm very energetic. I had a new hip replacement about 3 months ago. I'm already back in the gym about the last 4 weeks to build up a bit of strength. So in my mind, I'm like 30 years old. But the thing is that I don't have the energy I had when I was 40 years of age, and people of my age would realise that. And plus the fact, Stephen, and you will find this out, that people get fed up listening to you and looking at you. And who am I? And some people don't like you, but why am I telling you that? I mean,
you see,
you've cornered the market and people that don't like you.
I make money out of it, don't I?
Absolutely.
I make money out of people who don't like
me. I wanted to talk about
me.
Your contract, because I had the biggest contract at one time. But anyway.
Tell me this. It's interesting, you see, because when I was talking about you last week to some of the others, I reckon you're one of the very few left in a generation of broadcasters who clearly, you know, you've been around such a long time. Everybody in Northern Ireland knows who you are. You're synonymous with sport in Northern Ireland.
Well, that's nice. And the fans have been good to me, and they gave me a lovely ovation at Windsor Park that